Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and I have Josh and Ellen back in the studio today for day three of our science article. Welcome back, panelists.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
And we've been talking about how to increase our brain power. Can you make yourself smarter? We've talked about a lot of things over the course of the past 2 days. We met a man named Todd Sampson, and he is the host of Hack My Brain. And Josh, what are some of the things that he's been involved in?
Well, he has been traveling the world learning ways to improve brain plasticity. And on the first day, we talked about his ability to improve his memory. I talked about the clip I saw of him learning how to memorize a deck of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that could help you, Brandon. You say you struggle with remembering people's names.
That's right.
Maybe you could create a word picture of their name in your head.
That's right. Yeah. It's just some association. I think even with names, as soon as you meet them, maybe try to repeat their name right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. And also something they say that you can associate with them that may help you as well.
Do you remember faces well?
I remember faces much better than I remember names.
So if you saw someone today and then bumped into them in 2 years, you might remember their face and say, oh, yeah, we met at the mall that day, but I have no idea what your name is.
Well, here's the problem. I don't always remember where I met them.
Oh, okay.
Because honestly, I do meet a lot of people in the kind of work that we do. We meet many students all over this island.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it can be difficult to remember where you met them, especially if you've only seen them once or twice. You're like, you look familiar, but I don't know where I met you from, where I met you. So anyway, that can be a challenge. But there are the good news is there are many different things you can do to increase your brain power. You can start off small, going online, right, and playing some games. And panelists, I think you've been involved with that. Maybe an app, Josh, that you've used?
Yes, both Ellen and I have checked out this mobile app called Elevate. Have you stuck with it, Ellen?
2 days. I don't know if you can call that sticking with it just yet, but 2 days.
Okay, and then I've also gone on to brainhq.com, and they have games there that you can play for free. And so there are many different things you can do. And we see the guy here, Todd Sampson. He did some things that were much more intense. He actually had to try this underwater escape, and he almost drowned, we learned yesterday. And so maybe you don't want to start off there.
No.
Especially if you don't know how to swim.
Right.
So that can be quite dangerous, but you can do something to, you know, increase your brain power. Even as Ellen mentioned, I believe yesterday, reading is something that's very helpful, right? Especially if you're learning a second language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think to improve at anything, you need to invest time into it. So even here, we see that Todd has invested a lot of time into exercising or training himself to improve his memory.
We think of the word exercise. We're talking about exercising the brain. But as we'll talk about at the beginning of today's discussion, we see physical training, of mm-hmm. course, as an example. And what is important when it comes to getting physically fit? What are some things that you need to do?
Well, you need to do it regularly.
Yes.
Right? It can't be something you just do when you think about it, because you're not going to think about it that much. So you need to make it a part of your schedule or your routine.
That's mm-hmm. right. You need to do it regularly. And when it comes to getting fit, it's helpful to get other people involved to help you. You know, for example, if I say I'm going to run tomorrow, if I get a friend to come with me, that helps me to, it keeps me accountable. I'm going to meet you at 5 o'clock, and so they will be there, so I need to be there because I don't want to let my friend down, right?
Mm-hmm. That's how I do it.
You know, it's very helpful.
I have a guy standing on a street corner who I run with, Dan, at 5:30 in the morning, and it gets me out of bed. That image of, oh, man. I can't text him I'm not coming because he doesn't bring his phone. So I need to go out there and meet him.
So if you can, you know, have some competition, for example, and I think as I was on brainhq.com, I think there too, maybe you can compete against other people, but I'm sure if not there, other apps and so forth, you can probably have some sort of fun competition with your friends. Mm-hmm. And so that could help you to, you know, actually play the games, right?
Well, I mean, even our studio classroom app, you know, Hot Words, there's a competition function to that. So
PK, right?
Yeah. Well, as we say here, yeah. It's called PK. You know, you can work with your friends, you know, compete against them to help you learn new words.
Well, speaking of words, we've learned a lot of new words over the past 2 days. Josh, does any word stick out that you want to remind our listeners about?
Well, I like that word from day one, baseline. Mm-hmm. It's in line 9, and it's this idea of when you're comparing two things, you need to start with a number or a statistic, something that we're going to then use in the future to compare against.
Okay, Ellen?
Actually, I really like this word, biofeedback. I know we've been talking a lot about just the brain and having it or training it, but I think as we see or we saw yesterday with his try or attempt at escaping, this Houdini escape, we see that, you know, you at the end of the day, it does kind of involve your physical, you know, reactions too.
Okay, and of course the biofeedback is the idea of you know about your body and you need to be able to control your emotional and physical responses in these kind of situations, and that's what Todd needed to do. And I also like the word there on the first day on line 23, the word daunting. If something is daunting, it makes you feel very frightened. You don't want to do it. It's a daunting task. And so you probably want to avoid it. You want to get away from it. But we also learned that you don't avoid things. You don't avoid things that are difficult. You need to face them, right?
Mm. It's a verb, right? Or it's an adjective.
That's right.
Do we ever use the verb daunt?
I don't use that.
We only hear daunting.
Usually you hear daunting. Yes. Yes. Of course, that's a good point, too. A lot of times you'll see words here in writing that we don't use in conversation, usually.
Right.
And so you need to know the difference as well. You know, some words you don't see that often. Well, you can learn what it means, but you don't have to necessarily memorize that one. Just know what it is and by the context of it, but try to remember the words that you will use on a regular basis. Well, we have a few more questions. We are in an interview format here, and the Mother Nature Network is asking the host, Todd Sampson, questions, and we have a few more questions to look at today. So we are on page 31, and we have our first question for today.
Is it necessary to keep doing exercises if you want to keep your sharpness level up? Will it fall if you don't? Brain training is like physical training. You must do it regularly, not at the intensity I had to do it at during the filming, but regularly.
All right, well, it says, is it necessary to keep doing exercises? And then we talk about physical training, and we need to do that regularly. We already mentioned that. But here, just to reinforce that, if we want to keep our brains very sharp, we need to practice regularly, right, Ellen?
Right, absolutely. You know, using Brandon's example earlier, when he was exercising with a towel and he felt sore the next day, we often, you know, when you do an exercise that you haven't done in a long time, we often say, you know, you're sore in places you didn't even realize you had muscles.
Yeah.
We often say that. And I think the same can be said about the brain, you know. When you begin to exercise certain parts of the brain that you don't usually exercise, then, you know, you kind of discover that there are different skills or different parts of it that you do have the skill to kind of improve.
And there's things in life that you learn once and never forget, right? Mm-hmm. We say that in figuratively, too. We say, oh, it's like riding a bike, because mm-hmm. pretty much everyone remembers how to ride a bike after you learn once.
Right.
But that's not the case with everything we learn. Right? You can easily lose skills, like I learned when I came back to Asia and tried to speak Chinese again, that if you don't keep them up, right? And I think that's the point of this question here is, okay, if I've achieved a certain level of memory or whatever the baseline I improved against, do I stay at that forever or do I have to continue that training?
Well, he says here you need to practice. And we have the phrase, use it or lose it. Mm-hmm. And that's very applicable to language. And so that's a good example, Josh, about Chinese. If you don't use it, you will lose it. You might remember some things. I remember I sort of learned Spanish in high school, a bit of Spanish. I took 2 years of it, but I didn't use it. So today I only remember a few words or phrases, right?
In Chinese, there's this phrasing that, you know, when you don't use something, you return it to the teacher. You know, it's kind of like, okay, I learned it once, and then I just kind of gave it all back.
Yes.
Right. Guilty of that, definitely.
Yes. And so we want to keep our brain sharp by doing these brain exercises. And he says here he had to do some intense training. He went through some intense training during the filming, and you don't have to do that, but you need to do something and do it regularly. And going back to the physical training analogy, you know, I've thought, you know, I need to go to the gym, but I don't actually really go to the gym. So what can I do? And so I started running more, and that's simple enough for me. I can just go outside and run. And I found out that that works much better for me. And so, you know, when it comes to exercise, do something. You know, don't have a goal that you're not going to reach and you just feel bad about it. That's not accomplishing anything. But you can start off somewhere. Well, the same is true for exercising your brain. Start somewhere. You don't want to do this underwater escape thing, but you can go online and do some brain exercises. So I think all of us can do something. Well, that's the first question for today, but we have three more to discuss. So let's listen to our next question for today.
What simple suggestions do you have for people who want to improve their brains? All the scientists agreed that 25 minutes of brisk walking a day, if you can add strategy like memorizing locations or license plates, is excellent for your brain. I also recommend finding ways to incorporate it into everyday life. Try and remember all the names of the people at the next dinner party. Stop using your phone as a surrogate brain and memorize some of the numbers yourself. And the next time you need to do a calculation, do it in your head.
I like this question, panelist, and I like the word simple. What simple suggestions? We don't want to make things too complicated, not in the beginning anyway, so we need some simple suggestions. And we hear some of those suggestions here from Todd. And what does he say about walking, Josh?
Interesting. We talked about physical training and comparing it to brain training. Now he makes the connection that physical exercise, 25 minutes of brisk walking, will improve brain health.
Okay, and we've seen that word brisk many times, just meaning something that you're walking quickly. You're not just taking a leisurely walk in the park. You're actually walking because you want to get some exercise. But he says that you should also, you know, add some strategy to that, right, Ellen?
Right, and he mentions memorizing locations or license plates, and this is great for your brain. Mentioning those, I immediately had this image of being a child in a car during road trips and playing some games, such as, you know, I spy type games where, you know, maybe my brother or sister would say you need to find certain objects, you know, and you look out the window and your brain is constantly just working and searching.
Okay. We played the license plate game, called it, every summer, because I lived in California and lots of people would visit California from other states. So you would spend the summer trying to find all 50 license plates.
Right, or even the alphabet game, you know, just going through the alphabet and trying to think of words, you know, stuff like that. So there, I think it was it's interesting that we, as children, played these games without knowing that they were training our brain.
Our tricky parents.
So when you're in the car traveling, don't just watch a movie. Do something to, you know, improve your brain power. And so we see here the word strategy. We need a plan. We're going out for a walk. Well, let's plan to memorize some locations or some license plates and so forth. And so he says this is excellent for your brain. He also recommends finding ways to incorporate it into everyday life. This word incorporate is a very useful word, Josh.
That's true. It just means make it a part of, include something into what you're doing. You can incorporate ideas into a plan. You can incorporate, you know, people into a project. In this case, it's incorporating ways to improve your brain into everyday life. So not just something you do every once in a while, but in your normal routine.
So make it practical. And he gives us an example here about remembering names. And we've talked about this a lot. And I mentioned how I have a hard time remembering names. And so here he says, try and remember all the names of the people at the next dinner party. And so instead of just, you know, going and meeting people and being like, okay, you're not really paying attention. Pay attention to the people and try to remember their names, right?
Right.
I went to a party with Brandon yesterday. Brandon, do you remember anyone we met yesterday?
I don't. Oh, no. So I need to incorporate this, what I'm learning, and so I can remember people's names the next time, right?
Come on. Who was the speaker?
Oh, my goodness.
Very nice pastor.
Oh, yes. I remember. I do remember him. His name is Kevin.
Oh, good job.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I did remember one person's name.
Round of applause for Brandon.
But this next one is interesting. When he says, stop using your phone as a surrogate brain. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that has really changed our culture.
Right.
Ellen probably doesn't remember life without a cell phone.
I do.
But you had to memorize people's phone numbers. And you did, right? You had, at least your close friends, you knew their numbers. Because mm-hmm. we didn't walk around with address books in our pockets like we do now.
That's right.
I had a friend a couple of, last week we were out at dinner and here, in Taipei, you know, you can get, I guess, memberships or VIP memberships at certain places. And when you go to this restaurant, you can get discounts if you have this membership. And oftentimes they'd use their phone number as kind of mm-hmm. that registration process. And I had a friend who couldn't even remember her own phone number and had to look in her phone for that. And I was like, oh gosh.
I'm guilty of that.
I've said I have a really good memory, and there's just things I can't even get out of my brain that I wish I would. I remember my friends' home phone numbers in America.
Mm.
They don't even use those numbers anymore,
yeah.
Like landline numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why they have just stuck in my brain.
Probably dialed it a lot when
yeah.
you were younger.
Yes, yes. So some people, they have a knack. They are able to remember numbers very easily. So I guess you have that gift, Josh.
It doesn't do much for me.
Well, we don't want to use our cell phones as a substitute brain, this word surrogate there. And we actually need to memorize some numbers, including our own phone numbers. If you're
that would
like
be
me.
A good one to
That's
start
a good,
with. Yeah.
good place to start. Sometimes I change phone numbers so much that it's hard to keep up with. But anyway, the next time you need to do a calculation, just do it yourself. And we're so used to using calculators. If you're a math person, maybe, you know, you're used to using your brain to make those calculations. But I think we get into this idea of like, oh, I'm not a math person. I teach English. Why do I need to think about doing calculations in my head? That's not my job, right? But it's helpful to do that, Ellen.
Right, right. I'm very guilty of that. I've never been a numbers person. I kind of always, even as a child in elementary school, I said to myself, I'm never going into business because I just can't do numbers. but, you know, I absolutely think that we have to train ourselves. We have to push ourselves to do that.
Well, that's okay, Ellen. It's good to know what you're good at a young age, right?
That's true. But you also don't want to limit yourself,
yeah.
right?
I right.
mean, if you had told yourself your whole life that,
yes.
and then you had a chance as an older person to start a business, that it might seem too daunting because you've always said, I'm never going to be a business person.
Well, I mean, I think God has a very interesting sense of humor because at my previous job, I worked a lot with numbers.
Okay.
But I'm very grateful for Excel, Microsoft Excel.
Yes.
That's a good point, though, Josh. We don't want to limit ourselves, so we need to explore new areas. At least try, right? Sometimes we don't know what we're good at until we try it, right? And some things we're like, oh, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. But other things we learn and we say, hey, I like this. So don't set limits. Don't put limits on yourself. Okay, well, we have discussed a couple of questions. We have a couple of more to discuss. Let's go ahead and listen to the next question for today.
What did you take away from the experience, and what will the audience? Everyone, regardless of your station in life, has the ability to improve his or her brain. That is very empowering, and it can change lives. And what's even more mind-blowing is that we are still only at the foothills of our understanding.
Okay, so what can we take away from all of this? And if you have an experience and you say, what can you take away from it? That just means, what can you learn from it? And how can you implement those things? How can you put those into practice in your own life? Well, what does Todd say here at the beginning, Josh?
Well, he says everyone can actually benefit from this, regardless of where you are in life. I like that phrase he uses, your station. I don't think it means, you know, what MRT stop are you at? Just means, where in life? Are you at the beginning stage of a career? Are you retired? Are you a stay-at-home mom who might not feel she has the, you know, mental stimulation she used to have? Mm-hmm. Regardless of where you're at, you can improve your brain power.
Right, your place in life. Everyone can get involved. And so they have the ability to improve their brains. And this is empowering. This is encouraging. It builds confidence, doesn't it, Ellen?
Absolutely. You know, as we mentioned earlier, you know, we sometimes feel like, oh, there's no hope that we can improve or we can, you know, get better at remembering numbers or remembering names. But, you know, to know that actually that's not true, it gives you a lot of motivation to keep trying harder.
Okay, and it can change lives. Now, that's a big statement. If something can change your life, well, how can this really change your life? Imagine you're at work and you're maybe having trouble remembering things, or you just need to think faster. Well, if you do some of these exercises, that could change your life, at least your work life, right?
That's true. Make you more efficient, productive, get you a promotion. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon you're running the company.
All right. Well, we're really taking off there. Okay, that's motivation. Well, what's even more mind-blowing is that we are still only at the foothills of our understanding. At the foothills of what in the world does that mean, Ellen?
So this just means to be at the beginning of something or just starting out. So we often, when we're talking about journeys in a metaphorical way, we often say, you know, something can be a mountain or it can be a foothill. So often the foothill is just kind of at the beginning. It's not quite to the point where you're trying to overcome something big, but you're starting out.
Okay, and it is mind-blowing because we've already learned so much, and so it's mind-blowing because it's just unimaginable. You can't believe we're just at the beginning stages when we've had all of these results already. So that's good news. Hopefully there'll be even more good results, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we have one last question for today. Let's go ahead and have that reading right now.
What can brain training do to help reverse or prevent disorders such as dementia? I am really excited by the work happening around dementia and Alzheimer's. While there is no cure at the moment, what we do know is that through training and good health, you can build up a cognitive reserve, which will allow you to push the symptoms out to much later in your life. This will become increasingly important considering that one-third of all children born today will live to over 100 years of age. The brain is the most adaptable and complex matter in the universe. We will eventually find a cure.
Okay, so here we talk about dementia and Alzheimer's, and I want to just take a moment to discuss the difference in that. Of course, dementia is a medical condition and affects usually older people, and it causes problems with the memory and mental abilities, and they become worse. Your memory becomes worse, and you could even become confused. And according to the National Institute on Aging, dementia, you know, it's a brain disorder, and Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. And so that's a little bit about the difference. Sometimes those terms are used interchangeably, but there is a bit of a difference. Okay, so we are excited about what we've learned in this article, and that's what Todd is talking about, because there's no cure for dementia or Alzheimer's. That's not what he's excited about, but he's excited about this training that you can go through, right?
That's right. To prevent it, it says you can build up a cognitive reserve. And a reserve is something we use to talk about savings, mm-hmm. something for the future. You can put money into the bank and say those are your reserves in case of an emergency. In this case, we're talking about saving up brain power.
That's right, Josh. And of course, when we see the word cognitive, we think about our brain or thinking and so forth. And when you have this cognitive reserve, it allows you to hopefully push the symptoms out to much later in your life. So they're not saying this will help you to, you know, that you'll never get dementia or Alzheimer's, but hopefully it will delay the symptoms, right?
That's right. And it says it's important because we're going to live longer.
Yes, apparently it says one-third of all children born today will live to over 100 years of age. I don't know how they came to that conclusion.
And we won't know if they're right.
Yes.
Quite a long time.
That's right. So we will have
they
to
wait.
They
won't know if they're right.
Well, and they end the article by saying the brain is the most adaptable on complex matter in the universe. And we know that. We know the computers are complex, but the human brain is even more complex. God made us that way, right? And so we can continue to do research and find out new things and new ways to improve our brain power. Well, and we hope, of course, that they will eventually find a cure for dementia and Alzheimer's. So anyway, we hope that you have enjoyed this science article, Can You Make Yourself Smarter? And we hope that you try out some of the brain exercises online or download an app, and we hope that you become smarter. And we hope that you continue to read Advanced Magazine, and I think that will help you to become more knowledgeable. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please join us again next time. Until then, this is Brandon.
Josh.
Ellen.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.